unable to ensure the purity of foreign products. The Central California companies that produced E. coli contaminated spinach have reached financial settlements with the families of three women who died after eating the leafy green. The dollar amount has not been released. Dozens more lawsuits are expected. This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, the U.S. military has stopped building a 3-mile-long, 12-foot-tall concrete wall separating a Sunni neighborhood from a Shia one. The Iraqi prime minister demanded the U.S. halt the project designed to dampen sectarian violence. Residents say the wall is too isolating. In Iraq today, suicide bombers killed at least 27 and wounded 60, including an attack on a Kurdish Democratic Party headquarters. Turkish media reported today Iran and the EU will meet in Ankara to discuss Tehran's uranium enrichment program. It will be the first such talk since the UN implemented new sanctions against Iran. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates will meet this week with Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about the construction of U.S. anti-missile bases in Poland and the Czech Republic. Russia says the system will destabilize the region's security. In Paris, conservative Nicolas Sarkozy and socialist Ségolène Royal have won the first stage of France's presidential election. They face a runoff in 2 weeks. The election turnout was one of the largest in the country's history. In Lagos, Nigerians today await the result of Saturday's presidential election, which has unofficially been called in favor of the existing government. Opposition leaders and international monitors say the election was rife with corruption and intimidation. Today, the top Palestinian security chief quit, saying he was not able to bring law and order to the territories as he had promised. 9 Palestinians were killed this weekend by Israeli troops. It was the worst violence there in weeks. Students return to Virginia Tech today, a week after a fellow student killed 33 on campus. Since students have been told they are not required to continue classes, it's unknown how many of the 26,000 pupils will do so. In Cactus, Texas, residents are returning to their small rural panhandle area following a series of tornadoes Saturday that smashed buildings and injured 14. Georgia continues to burn out of control. Nearly 5,500 acres and 24 homes have been destroyed. 6,000 residents have been evacuated. 7-term Democratic Congressman Juanita Melander McDonald has died of cancer in her Southern California home. She was 68. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The Worldwide Fund for Nature has announced Ugandan mountain gorillas appear to be making a slow but steady comeback from the edge of extinction. 750 exist in the wild. The gentle giants are endangered by hunters, habitat destruction, and rebel armies. Australian zoologists have discovered higher temperatures can actually reverse the sex of dragon lizards before they hatch, transforming males into females. Scientists say their research may have implications for the effect of climate change. Following the poisoning of tens of thousands of pets from contaminated Chinese grains, the Associated Press has released an investigation. They say Americans eat billions of dollars worth of ingredients imported from countries with spotty safety records. Food inspectors are overwhelmed and unable to ensure the purity of foreign products. The Central California companies that produced E. coli contaminated spinach have reached financial settlements with the families of three women who died after eating the leafy green. The dollar amount has not been released. Dozens more lawsuits are expected. Gas prices at the pump have gone up 8 cents in the past 2 weeks. That's according to the Lundberg survey. The highest priced gas is in San Francisco, the cheapest in Minneapolis. Light sweet crude at this hour trading at $64.31 a barrel. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Everybody, wake the hell up. It's Monday morning. How are you today? It's Joe Vecchio on the Cup Joe Radio Show. How's everybody today? I try to say that faster and faster every single day, and I always wind up missing a few words. How is everybody? It's Monday, and I'm still struggling to wake up myself. But since it was a weekend, I got to sleep in and stay up a little later, and I had to get up. I didn't get to sleep till like 4 o'clock this morning, so I'm still a little groggy. If this seems weird that I'm coming out with so much energy, so far, the fact of the matter is I'm still a little groggy and just kind of trying to force myself awake here. I got my bottle of water nearby, you know, when I yell, I lose my voice a little bit, so I gotta liquefy. I gotta liquidate. How was everybody today? I hope you all had a good weekend. I got a couple of things that I need to tell you about. And it's been going on for a little while, and I've been wanting to talk about it, but I really haven't been. It's really two different situations, and it's stuff at the work and stuff at home. And in order for me to say it, I gotta talk about it kind of sort of from the beginning. So let me because I gotta have some perspective. We got to have some perspective on it so you can understand where I'm coming from when I say the things I'm going to say. I've been talking to people in private about this, and they keep telling me I got to bring it up on the show. And I haven't really wanted to bring it up on the show because, you know, I think it's unfair to the people I'm talking about to not have a voice in their favor. But I think things have finally reached a point where I say, you know, enough is enough. I need to vent on this, and I need to let other people know where I'm at. So here's the deal. Let me explain it from the top. Now, for those of you who've been listening to my show here on Head On Network, and for my previous recording, my pre-recorded shows as well, before I was on Head On. And by the way, I've been on Head On Radio Network for over a year now, which is remarkable to me. It's really gone by very quickly. I moved here to Chicago August of last year. About a few months after my wife passed away. My wife passed away in September of 2005. And I wanted to make a new life for myself, you know, because things had kind of reached a head in Atlanta, or at least I had gone pretty much as far as I can go in Atlanta. I said, I need a new change, and I need to move to a real city, a big city. And, of course, that means Chicago. I couldn't really move to New York anyway. Things are way too expensive there. I would have had to have a pre-job set. But our good friend, the Thane of Fascistan, who shows up in the Bark Cop chat room and in other venues, said, I got a place where you can stay, and you can come in here and stay with me until you get your sea legs. So anyway, I go in there, and I stay with the Thane, and I get a job, and I move to a new place because, you know, it was only temporary because his daughter was moving in. And he needed the place for that. But I had plenty of time. And, of course, you know, the problem is as soon as I got a new job, I had to find another place. And I never had the opportunity to save up any money. I mean, I was unemployed for so long with Kathy being sick that I was never able to save up any money. So I wound up in the same kind of position that I've always been in, where I have to move with no money. And keep in mind, I came up here with no money, $20 in my pocket and a suitcase, and about $10 in the bank, maybe. That's it. That's it. And, but, you know, my first paycheck or so, I used that for, to pay off, you know, rent. And I went to the place, and it's a place up north of where I work. It's a little bit of a commute, but not too bad. But it's a huge room. And the rent is $6.50 a month, utilities included. And, yeah, that sounds a little pricey, but I needed a place very quickly. And my problem is my credit rating's so bad, I can't just, you know, sign up for a regular apartment. And plus, I've had evictions in the past because of stuff that went on with the family. So that makes it doubly difficult to find an apartment. Because we can't just go to a normal apartment building and say, okay, here's, even if you had the money right off the bat. So, but the ladies I talked to seem really, really nice. And, you know, they was like, don't worry, you know, just pay what you can at first and we'll get you paid back. And that won't be a problem. And I had my first inkling that something was wrong. Although my new roommate, Tommy, who's a real nice guy, a Chicago native, who had moved away to San Francisco and has moved back here, he said, you know, the girls, and that's our term for them, the girls, they're a couple older ladies, they're in their 60s or so, they have a tendency to just come over when they feel like it. I'm like, what? And I noticed that they were coming over, you know, once or twice a week. And then they started complaining about stuff that you know, they really don't have a right to complain about. In the restroom that we have down here, this is a house, basically, and we rent the basement of the house. And there's a window there in the bathroom that didn't have any blinds. So we took a couple of towels and, you know, we put the towels up there to block it. Because, you know, you don't want anybody looking at you when you go in the bathroom. This is a street-level house, even though it's on the side. You know, and this house is right next door with windows and stuff. It's like, you know, in these days with internet cameras, you know, the last thing we want to do is turn on the computer and see, you know, my ass sitting on the toilet seat and the ugly man takes a dump with the headline. But she was trying to talk me out of believing that, oh, don't you want to have this nice little view out there when you're sitting there? Don't you want to have this nice little view? So, no, and I don't want anybody to have a nice little view of me. Why are we having this conversation? Why are we having this conversation? And then they start to complain about furniture placement. In where my door is, I don't really want to describe it, but where my door is, I have a little chair. And on the chair is where I put my shoes underneath, and I put my jackets up there, because I don't have a coat rack or anything like that. It's just a place to throw my, you know, to throw my coat and put my shoes on when I come home, because I don't want to walk into my room with the shoes on. It's not necessarily a Japanese thing, because the Japanese do that. It's just that I feel more comfortable just walking around in my socks, where I can be in my house and be comfortable. It's not that big a deal. But they constantly complained about the chair. Oh, and about the fact that I bought one of those little shopping carts, and that I would fold it up and put it behind the chair. And every time when they would come over, and keep in mind, there were times when they were coming over 3-4 times a week. A week! And they would say, we've had this conversation about the chair before, and I thought we agreed it was going to go. And I said, no, you agreed it was going to go. I'm the one who lives here. Why are we having this conversation? But it never stops. And finally, and my roommate had been Mr. Conciliatory. We've been playing good roommate, bad roommate. And my roommate said, Joe, just, try to deal with it, because, you know, they're not going to change. And I said, I realize they're not going to change, but that still doesn't make me, you know, doesn't make me want to have to deal with it anymore. And yes, they do own the house, because it is a house, and it's apparently, you know, one of the homes they grew up in. But, you know, they don't live here, so they don't have a right to tell us how to live. And they would come in, you know, and they would complain about they complained once that there was lint underneath the lid of the washing machine. And I'm like, again, why are we having these conversations? What are you doing here? You have no business being here. This is our place. We live here. I'm going to continue to talk about this. In the meantime, We have to take a break. But I'm going to continue to talk about this because this has been really driving me crazy, and I'm going to be venting on this. I was going to say, if you want to call in, don't call in for the moment because I'm going to be ranting on this for a little while. I don't want to keep anybody waiting. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. So I am talking, for the moment, about crazy land people, landladies, landlords. My roommate says I shouldn't use, they shouldn't be using this term anymore, but that's still the term that people generally use. I don't really know a better word to talk in anyway. But to continue on, they do own the house, but once you rent the place, you no longer have the right to show up there. And they don't seem to understand this. And I also should have known something was up when they had telling me they were having so many other troubles with bad tenants over the years. And finally, with me, I got to the point where I was just saying, leave me alone. I will call the police on you if you keep showing up here. And of course, they got mad at me. Why? And they would pester my roommate about it. Why is Joe so hostile? Why is Joe so hostile towards us? And Tommy, who had been Mr. Conciliatory, finally lost it when he was asleep in his room, or trying to sleep in his room, just laying down on his bed, and he hears the girls coming in there trying to get into his room. And apparently they come into the rooms a lot when we're not here. In fact, they came in one day when I moved in here in August, there was an air conditioner in the room. I come in one day and the air conditioner's gone, and I'm like, where did the air conditioner go? And they had moved it to a storage place for the winter. And you know, Tommy said, you know, to them this is like a big dollhouse where they just moved the furniture around. And one of the reasons I took it is I was already in a furnished apartment. I don't have enough money for furnishings. I don't have enough money to buy furniture. And I am moving pretty soon, and when I do move, I'm not going to have any money to buy furniture. And in fact, it may affect the show because I'm not going to have a place to put the computer. I have to put everything on the floor and work it from there. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Tommy blew his top. And he screamed at them. You know, are you crazy? He said to them, are you crazy? And of course, that's really the truth of it. And I wanted to make sure about where I stood, so I called the local police and let them know what was going on. And they said, yeah, you know, just, and they confirmed what I already believe. Yes, if you want to, you can have them arrested for trespassing. And so we had to go out and we had to look for a new, you know, and we ought to just sue them. We ought to simply just sue them to cover the cost of the security deposit and all that stuff. Tommy's afraid that they're not going to give them their security deposit back simply because I'm being mean to them, which, of course, they don't have a right to do anyway. And I talked to my sister and I talked to some other people about it, and they told me some of their crazy landlady stories or crazy land person stories. My sister lived in a place in Queens, New York. She rented the second floor apartment, and the landlady there, we would bang on the ceiling. She lived there, so that's even a different story because the landlady was actually living there. But anytime they took a step upstairs, she would bang on the bang 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 on the bang on their bang on her ceiling. Be quiet up there. Be quiet. When I was living in Decatur, I was renting a room. It was my wife and I. My wife was sick. We had a very, very small place. We were paying $425 a month, utilities included. The only thing I paid was my phone bill. And it was a very small place. It was one, basically a room, a bedroom, a bathroom, a small hallway, and the kitchen. And it was like a storage area. It was a basement of a house. Very nice little place. And our landlord was extremely understanding about what our situation was, and he pretty much let us go by without paying rent for the longest time. Simply because, he understood what was going on, and he said he had that room there basically to help people out in who were in need, which was nice. My only objection to him was that whenever I went up to talk to him, he had Fox News on, and I kept telling him, stop watching that! It's burning your brain cells out. But he lived in the house, and he didn't bother us anywhere near like what these girls bother us. And they don't even live here. In fact, the two sisters, one of them lives in New York City. She comes all the way from New York every now and then just to piss us off. And one time when they were going on complaining about, you know, dirt this and dirt that, and I said, like, do you want a white glove? I feel like I'm still in the military. Did I pass the inspection? I mean, Christ on a crutch. I just can't believe these people. And they were over here the whole weekend. And what I thought they were going to do, and I misunderstood it, they told my roommate wrong, is they were going to be holding a yard sale. And I thought, I can't believe that they're going to be holding a yard sale in our front lawn. And it turns out they were holding it in their front lawn in Evanston. But they were still here. They dropped in. They didn't come down and bother us. They're afraid to talk to me now because I'm Mr. Crazy Joe who calls the cops on them. Why is he so hostile? We've had this conversation about the chair before. I don't like it there. It's a public area. And I'm like, you know, the only person who can conceivably complain about it would be whoever lives upstairs because, you know, it's It's, you know, you have to, if you come downstairs, you see the chair there, but, you know, it's not really in anybody's way. And the only people who would want to, who would have to complain about it would be the people who were living upstairs. And we got nobody living upstairs. What we do now, she basically has been, every now and then, once every couple of months, she'll rent the room out to, for a week, for the weekend or so to some people who are staying in Chicago or looking for another place. But of course, nobody could stand living here for more than a few months because they do the same thing to every frickin' tenant. Apparently somebody came in here and was moving around the furniture upstairs, and they got upset because of that, as if it was their business. And we had a guy who wanted to move in, an older guy, and you know, Tommy and I are in our mid-40s, Tommy's in his late 40s, and we had a guy who was in his like 50s or 60s or so, a retired guy, on SSI, so he's got steady income coming in. And he was ready to move in. He wanted to move in. We wanted him here because it would have been it was a good deal, and they could have had another person renting the place about $600 a month, and then maybe in time we would have gotten a fourth person in. You know, and everything would have been cool, and everything would have been wonderful, and all they had to do was nothing. But they didn't want him to come in. They wanted to rent the entire upstairs out. To get as much money as they possibly could. But you know something? They ended up losing a ton of money because that place was empty for like 3 months before somebody came in for like a weekend. And then, of course, when they left, whatever dirt they left up there, they blamed on us. Those people left this place immaculate. Oh, and they would always hassle me about cleaning the oven. I used the oven exactly once, and I did not leave any kind of a mess in there. And they were always complaining to me about the oven. Oh, you got to clean this oven. I'll get you some easy oven. You can clean the oven. And I'm like, why are we having this conversation? Get out of here. And they talk about changing out the stove, putting a different stove in there. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Why are you stressing me out? Why are you stressing yourselves out over this issue? Don't you have anything better to do? We need to get you laid. Are there any male gigolos out there? We need to get you laid. But it was funny when I called the cops to talk about the situation, and they said, yeah, you have every right, you know, to call us on them, and you know, if they're coming to your house, and we'll explain the law to them if you like. But they kind of frown on, you know, locking up 60-year-old women. And I said, yeah, I agree, but I think if you met these ladies, I think after 5 minutes you'll want to find an excuse to throw them in the clink yourself. In the chat room, they're saying, yeah, Jeff Gannon may be available. Yeah. There's somebody, something, you know. And it's just remarkable to me that they continue to do this. And, you know, they've been sued before for discrimination. And, in fact, the guy we had moving in here, he could have sued them because one of the things they told us that they didn't want him moving in here is because he was a little older. And they were worried about him having a heart attack because he'd had a heart murmur, something a few years ago. And everything's got to be drama to them. And you know, and we're like, why can't you be like the really bad landlords and never ever show up? And they have no idea how good they have it. Tommy and I are great tenants. We don't throw loud parties. We don't mess the place up. We're not intrusive. We just want a place where we can come home and relax. Tommy watches a little TV when he comes home. I sit here and play on the computer most of the time, probably too much. And all you have to do is nothing. Okay, granted, sometimes we're a little late on the rent. We're all going through some tough times right now. Everybody's going through tough times right now. But we always manage to catch up. And they have no reason to complain about stuff. And it's going to go on again and again and again with them for whatever new tenants. They're going to be having the same conversation with the next tenants. And they're going to complain about, oh, what bad tenants we were. I don't understand why people are such bad tenants. And they have no idea how good they've got it. Because trust me, I've seen how some people live. Excuse me a second. And I've seen the kind of thing other tenants can do to you. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about crazy landlords and I'm going to start talking about crazy work situations in the next half hour. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. We'll reverse that.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Workers' Independent News, we can review. I'm Doug Cunningham. The UAW says Daimler Chrysler's announcement that it's investing $1 billion in new and expanded factories in Metro Detroit is great news for the UAW-represented workers at Chrysler and for the state of Michigan. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says with these serious new resources from the company, Chrysler has the opportunity to enhance its competitive position in the auto industry. United Steelworkers President Leo Girard says his union and the UK's Amicus Union this week took the first step toward forming the first transatlantic union.
We're committed that as corporations globalize and global capital tries to flex its muscles, that we need to build a counterforce.
The full merger will be complete within a year. The new union will have a combined membership of nearly 3 million. More than 400,000 grocery workers represented by the United Food and Commercial Workers are bargaining for new contracts this year. The UFCW's Amber Sparks says big supermarket chains are not treating workers with respect as they negotiate the new contracts.
They are not providing affordable health care, not providing, a living wage for workers.
Talks resumed this week between UFCW and three grocery chains in Southern California. Sparks says the union is using a national strategy in an effort to have grocery workers rise up together.
The strategy has been, for the first time really, that workers are bargaining nationally. And what that means is that they are all realizing that they have this power when they all speak together that is stronger than the company's power, even these national companies.
On Wednesday, Senate Republicans stonewalled a bill that would have allowed the government to negotiate drug prices directly with companies. One Idaho physician says that move could cost taxpayers millions of dollars. Jesse Russell has more.
When Senate Republicans successfully blocked a measure on Wednesday that would have shifted negotiations over drug prices covered by Medicare Part D from the private sector to the federal government, they may have cost American seniors millions of dollars.
The whole point of having a large organization like the government in healthcare is to reduce costs, and one of the big ways you can do that is through wholesale purchasing. This is the only program that the government runs that does not have bargaining power in purchasing medication.
That was Dr. Michael Futz, a physician in Coons, Idaho, and a member of Idaho Healthcare for All. According to a report by the Institute for America's Future, by denying the government the opportunity to negotiate drug prices, it's costing taxpayers money.
Income inequality in the U.S. is at near record levels. Dan Pedrotti, director of the AFL-CIO's Office of Investment, says it's bad for society and undermines the middle class.
It's driven by, I think, in large part, an administration that has taken up one side in the class war and pursued it unabated. And it's the reason we see the CEO-to-worker pay ratio go from 40-1 at the beginning of the 1980s to 411-1 now.
Workers' Independent News, we can review. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. I was just listening to the music there for a little bit. I love that music. It's Tuffy Ami Yumi, one of some of the music they wrote for the, or they performed for the Teen Titans cartoon that is not on the air anymore. I like it. It's really, I don't really have a lot of new music. Most of the music, if you listen to the show, you know most of the music I use for the show is fairly old. 70s, 80s music, that sort of thing. But I have a couple of new things thrown in there, recent things. Recent, of course, being 90s generally. That's probably the most recent music that I listen to. And, or that I use for the show. And speaking of music, I want to bring this up because it's a situation at work that everybody's kind of aware of. And by the way, real quick, to finish up on the landlady, the crazy landlady story, what are we going to do about it? Somebody asked me in the chat room, and they said we're just going to move because you know we could spend a lot of time and trouble just trying to deal with these women, and they're simply not going to listen. I mean, they've been sued before for discrimination because they only want certain types of people to live here. You know what I'm saying? And that obviously has not taught them a lesson. Perhaps putting them in jail for trespassing would teach them a lesson, but maybe not. But they've made the situation intolerable, and we've simply decided that the best recourse for us is to simply move. And we do have another place to stay. But like I said, we need furniture. If anybody knows anybody in the Chicago area that's got some furniture they're looking to unload, tell them to give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. We can certainly use it. We're going to go on Craigslist free and see what we can discover there. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this because it really kind of falls in. There was a while there I was just happy to be able to go into work to get away from all this nonsense. And my poor roommate, by the way, he couldn't even go into work because the girls were calling him at work apparently every day last week. Isn't that wonderful? But anyway, a few weeks ago, we got a new supervisor on second shift, and I work from 3 to 11 at night. And this lady used to work on third shift. And she liked to play her music. And her music is top 40 hip-hop. And I am forced to listen to this every single frickin' night. And on Friday, I finally blew my top. And, it's not just, that they have music, but they all have loud conversations. Very loud conversations about the little gossipy doings of whatever musician happens to be in vogue at the moment. And I listen to this every night while I'm trying to work. Now, I'm a wet blanket when it comes to that sort of thing. I don't like to listen to music at work. It's not necessarily a question of what music I'm listening to, because I really don't even like to listen to music that I enjoy, because if I listen to music I enjoy, I get too much into it and I can't concentrate on the work. Okay, as I've said before in the show, I am serious about my work, but not necessarily serious about my job, meaning that I don't necessarily play the politics games and suck up and do all those things. And I was sitting there doing, and I came in a little early on Friday to do some work. And she's there a little early too, and I was talking with somebody, sitting next to me, just about whatever. And she shushes me. And I turn around and said, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" And she said, "Well, it's because, we had the big boss standing behind me." I said, "All right, I understand." But then she comes back and she tries to explain to me, and I'm just like, if that's what you're saying, then maybe we should stop playing the radio, And she said, "No, we're going to have the radio. We're going to have the radio." And, that's the thing. She's coming into work to listen to the radio. And I was just furious about it, because if you've ever been in that situation where you're forced to put up with something at work that you find completely intolerable, and you feel like you have no choice. Now, some people handle that better than I do. I don't. And I don't handle bad supervisors, and I don't handle what I think to be immaturity very well. In fact, I'm very immature about it. And I blew up at her about it the other day, on Friday. You show me absolutely no consideration. And I'm sick and tired of listening to that crap every single freaking day. And, you know, it isn't just having the radio on. It's got to be the top 40 rap, because somebody had on an easy listening station for a little while. And after about an hour, I said, oh, I got to change that. I can't listen to that all night. Imagine how I feel having to listen to it every single freaking night. I said, you want the quality of music? I'll bring in a CD full of Barney music. I'll bring in a Barney CD, and we'll play that all night. And we'll just have it on repeat, because if you listen to Top 40 Radio, you know that they repeat the same few songs over and over and over again. So it's bad enough that I got to listen to this really, really awful music. And let me tell you something about rap music. Rap music is the worst piece of crap music, piece of garbage music I've ever heard come down. It's worse than grunge music, and I don't like grunge music. That kind of goth, you know, heavy guitar, the world sucks type of deal. I hate that stuff. I hate rap even more. It's completely worthless, useless, talentless movies. Music. Movies. It's absolutely and utterly worthless. And it has nothing to do with it being ethnic or black or anything like that, because, you know, I listened to black musicians all the time when I was growing up. Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Dionne Warwick, Diana Ross, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight. Wonderful, beautiful music. Music that will stand the test of time. 100 years from now, they'll still be playing all of those artists on whatever form of radio they've got 100 years from now. And I'll guarantee you 100 years from now, nobody's going to be able to name one single rapper. It's a dead-end music style. And I have to listen to it every single day. And I was, you know, thinking about what I wanted to say to try to I don't want to say extricate myself from the situation, because there is no extricating myself. She's going to have her music, and not that. But I'm going to point out to her what makes her a bad supervisor. And what makes her a bad supervisor is the fact that because I'm not one of her peeps, that she blows me off. And that she has absolutely no concern for how I feel about the workplace, for my enjoyment, or at least non-harassment. I'm trying to find the right words. You know, here I'm a radio guy, and I'm trying to find the right words. But she has absolutely no consideration for my feelings in this matter. I'm listening to the radio, and that's that. And I swear to God, if I'm ever in a position to do that, I'm going to get that Barney CD, and we're going to play that all night. And why can't we, you know, and last time I checked, we come into work to work. That's the last time I checked. We're not coming in to listen to the radio. And I've worked in workplaces where there are like big manufacturing places where everybody argues and fights about it, and that they had to have a different style of music every single day. So I was forced to listen to rap and country. Country's the other music I hate more than anything else. I despise country music. I absolutely despise it. And every time I hear a country song that I think I might like, or something that I think is country, I get something. No, that's not country. That's country rock, or that's pop. Either way, I don't want to hear it when I'm working. And I shouldn't have to go into a workplace situation that makes me unbelievably uncomfortable. It is a form of harassment. And I'm fairly certain that this lady is basically trying to get rid of me. And this is her means of doing it. Well, you know, I am actively looking for other work. And what I want to tell her is this. I say, you know, if I get another job and if I leave in the next few weeks, because I'm not really sure whether I want to have a career with this company or not. I'm a smart person, and I think I do very good for this company. But if I wind up leaving, I'm going to tell her boss that the reason I'm leaving is primarily because of her. Now, he may want to call her into his office and say, why am I losing a good worker? Because we have a supervisor who apparently believes that because she's the supervisor, she can do anything she wants. And if she thinks her job is secure in this day and age, in the world we live in George Bush's America, she's got another thing coming. And you know me, I've lost so many jobs before, I'm numb to it. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I've survived. I've managed to survive. And I don't know how other people handle it. Some people don't handle it very well. At Siemens, there were people who had worked there 25, 30, 40 years. And they couldn't handle the prospect of losing their job. They'd never been in a situation like that. But if I was a supervisor, that's what I would want to know. I'd want to know why I'm losing a good worker. And I may not be perfect. I make my share of mistakes, but I'm a good worker. And being a good worker, I know that we need to take a break. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's take our final break, and we'll be back.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. Ha ha, I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Have you ever lost too much money gambling? Did you ever think, just one more hand and I'll win it all back? Just one more roll of the dice, or one more coin in the slot? This could be a sign of problem gambling. And like any addiction, it's hard to stop on your own. So if this sounds like you or someone you know, call the toll-free Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-866-NO-BET-00. That's 1-866-662-3800. Problem gambling can happen to anyone. If it has happened to you or someone you care about, please call. Confidential, professional help is available 24 hours a day. The Problem Gambling Helpline is funded by the Kansas Coalition on Problem Gambling and Addiction and Prevention Services. A message from the Problem Gambling Helpline and this radio station.
I'm just not comfortable living in a swamp where assassination attempts are taking place. Every moon with a vendetta, every snake with a sinus headache frightens me.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
What the heck was that? What the heck was that? A swamp where assassinations are taking place? What movie is that from? Oh, my goodness. Let's just get right to the phone calls. We have our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. on line one. How are you today, Kevin?
Hi, I'm okay. How's everything?
As you can hear, a little tense, but yeah, getting better. We had a good weekend.
Well, I tell you, you know, there's a certain term called headphones, Bluetooth headphones. See, wouldn't even have to be confined to a wire. You know, it's just this total lack of civility in our society now. You know, and that's all it is. It's
sure.
And you know, I go back only.
And she, and you know, and she told me that you know, me yelling at her was very unprofessional, which of course it was, and I shouldn't have done it. I lost my temper. But what she does on a regular basis is not only unprofessional, but it's also rude and it's selfish.
Yeah. Well, it's again overall lack of civility, which again goes back to the 80s, the Reagan era, the me decade. Me.
Right.
And, you know, put it to this way. Hip-hop as we know it, not that I'm knocking hip-hop, I like very little of it. I don't have the hatred of it as you do, but I like very little.
No, I do knock hip-hop, and the reason why I get on it is not so much because of the lyrics and the bad language. You know, I can give or take that one way or the other. You okay?
Yeah.
But just simply because of the style of the music, it's very repetitious, it's very boring, and you know, that sort of thing.
Well, the thing is, I think if it wasn't for that decade, and basically the political global, it would not have taken off as it did, because it's a very me-oriented genre of music. It's about what I have and what I, you know, what I can get and what I can hustle and screw everyone else. You know, and that's pretty much where, you know, we are now, you know, 10 times over, more so than in the 80s, you know. In 60 Minutes last night, they had a thing about a lot of hip-hop artists saying, you know, don't be a snitch. You know, whoever gets killed or whatever, don't be a snitch. Don't tell the police and all that. And that's a very selfish thing because God knows what can happen. And a lot of them said the reason why, well, I'm doing it for business and professional reasons because I'll be out of, you know, I'll lose my street credibility. Which,
yeah, exactly.
You know, which is nonsense. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways, and if that's probably the one negative aspect of hip-hop that, or the rap music or whatever, it's this total lack of civility, this total me-oriented from... You know, from for the most part, from a segment of society that doesn't have much to begin with.
Right.
You know, it's like, and there comes a point where you have to take, again, you know, you cannot blame the drug pusher. You got to blame the drug addict. You know, what are you doing beyond for yourself?
Yeah, I think it shows a definite lack of character to me, in my opinion. To listen, it's not just so much to listen to hip-hop in general, but to listen to the same music and the same songs over and over again every single day.
Well, no.
I mean, I tuned out Top 40 radio completely when I was in my teens because I saw how lousy it was.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is programming and conditioning.
Yeah, but they listen to it. And that's you know, the reason why they came up with all these playlists is because they know that this is what people listen to. And I just can't fathom... It would drive me crazy, and it is driving me crazy, listen to the same six or seven songs over and over again every single day.
Again, you know, for a lot of these people, that's their life. You know, it's their form of bread and circuses. You know, they lead a very miserable life, and, you know, as long as you keep them fed and entertained, which is what they're doing, the powers that be,
right.
Then, you know, hey, you can get away with anything.
Sure. And you know, they do the same with sports too, because sports is a way, you know, is the same type of deal. The Romans and the Greeks, they were the Romans in particular, anyway, they were kind of like, you know, and bread and circuses is a Roman term. You know, they were always distracted by, you know, the gladiator fights and the latest chariot races and stuff. So it was the same type of deal.
Oh yeah, but
their version of NASCAR, by the way, chariot races.
Oh yeah. Well, I have my own issues with NASCAR. You know, for all that gas, there's too many people losing their lives and limbs.
Well, Kevin, you know, and I'm going to have a confession here, okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, what happened with Don Imus. I'm going to confess something right now. I do use the N-word from time to time, and I do use it in a very derogatory manner,
well,
okay? I don't like it. I feel bad when I do it. But I use it in the same way that I use the term redneck, which really should have the same kind of negative connotations that the N-word does.
Yeah.
And but the implication to me is, and I really should find the word that you know, characterizes all of it, because it's really not
a-hole?
So much a race thing, but it's a classlessness thing.
Yeah. Well,
you know? Oh, no, I'm not going to go there.
A-hole.
But it has to do with people who have lack of class.
Yeah, well...
And that's the way I see it.
Yeah, well, like, for that kind of thing. I just keep the race out of it because you have no control of what race you are.
Right, exactly. But, and I feel that's why I feel bad when I use the N word, because
I just use the general term a-hole because that covers everyone.
Yeah, but it's really a different thing, and because you know people are a-holes whether they're rich or poor.
Well,
it's really a question of people who have absolutely no class.
Well, Donald
and,
Trump,
or, and like you said, who are very me oriented, you know, because the redneck culture like that is also very me oriented.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump has no class, and he's a billionaire.
Yeah, but it's a different type of no class. He is an a-hole in that sense because he's just obnoxious and annoying. I'm talking about people who don't, you know, I'm gonna do my job and I got nothing else and that's it. That's life. Mundanes, you know, in the science fiction community we call them mundanes.
Yeah.
Okay. I do need a better phrase, and I really feel bad when I do that because you're right. It shouldn't be based on a racial thing.
Yeah. And that's, you know, pretty much all I have to say. But it's just a total lack of civility in our society. And, you know, your boss or whoever that person is, she's just an uncivil person.
And she's a bad supervisor. Because, you know, it's one thing for... And basically all she is she's a working person who's got a promotion. But she's not a supervisor. And
no.
She doesn't understand what it means to be a supervisor.
No, she's a lance corporal. That's all she is.
And not even that, really. Not even a good lance corporal either.
Yeah, yeah. And
you know, there's another supervisor there, a nice gentleman by the name of Barron, who is also a gentleman of color. Yeah. This is a woman of color, but this is a gentleman of color. And he is a great supervisor, because even though he recognizes that I'm a unique and different personality, he respects me, whereas because I'm not, you know, part of this person's clique, my female supervisor, I'm not part of her clique, she just kind of blows me off. And that's just wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, that's the total lack of civility we have, you know, which all boils down to, you know, you are a human being. You have the right to exist. And a lot of people don't get that. And that's the problem with our society today.
Right.
You know, for the past.
And, of course, I'm being selfish for demanding to have no music. Being selfish. That's the way they see it.
It's just a compromise, you know. Headphones.
Well, apparently they're not allowed to wear headphones. Or that's the excuse that she's giving.
I don't know about all that. I don't know what kind of conditions are there.
But even so, look, you don't come into the workplace, you listen to music, you come into the workplace to work.
Yeah.
And I said, how would you feel if everybody but you liked to fart at work? Would you like that? Would you enjoy that?
No.
And what, you know, how, and she obviously, it's got to be that music, because if it's just a question of playing music, like I said, I'll come in there with a Barney CD and we'll see how much she likes that every night.
Yeah.
But listen, Kevin, I got to let you go because we're coming up on the end of the show here, okay? Are you there? He's gone. All right. Thank you, Kevin, for calling in. I'm sorry. I don't know if you got cut off there, but we do have to end the show here because it's coming up on, the end of the show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid doing the programming today, and he did a great job of it, as always. And he's been doing it for the last couple of weeks or so. I guess Agnes needs a little rest in the morning, and that's great because, you know, I like Agnes, I like Bob. I love all my peeps here at the Head On Radio Network, and I would never make them listen to music that they don't want to listen to. Cup Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Foxed Up with John Fox is coming up next here on your Head On Radio Network stations. Until then, this is Joe Vecchio saying I'll be back tomorrow. And until then, hey, get back to work.
I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of pink. That'll do every trick. To the carafe of mash upon a tray of gray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Thank you.
eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with bread, feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick? Lay it on nice and thin, open a can of Dan and make a...
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, the U.S. military has stopped building a 3-mile-long, 12-foot-tall concrete wall separating a Sunni neighborhood from a Shia one. The Iraqi prime minister demanded the U.S. halt the project designed to dampen sectarian violence. Residents say the wall is too isolating. In Iraq today, suicide bombers killed at least 27 and wounded 60, including an attack on a Kurdish Democratic Party headquarters. Turkish media reported today Iran and the EU will meet in Ankara to discuss Tehran's uranium enrichment program. It will be the first such talk since the UN implemented new sanctions against Iran. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates will meet this week with Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about the construction of U.S. anti-missile bases in Poland and the Czech Republic. Russia says the system will destabilize the region's security. In Paris, conservative Nicolas Sarkozy and socialist Ségolène Royal have won the first stage of France's presidential election. They face a runoff in 2 weeks. The election turnout was one of the largest in the country's history. In Lagos, Nigerians today await the result of Saturday's presidential election, which has unofficially been called in favor of the existing government. Opposition leaders and international monitors say the election was rife with corruption and intimidation. Today, the top Palestinian security chief quit, saying he was not able to bring law and order to the territories as he had promised. 9 Palestinians were killed this weekend by Israeli troops. It was the worst violence there in weeks. Students return to Virginia Tech today, a week after a fellow student killed 33 on campus. Since students have been told they are not required to continue classes, it's unknown.